What's up, everybody? Roast Battle League Commissioner Pat Barker here. Before we jump into this week's episode, got a few upcoming dates for you if you want to come see Roast Battle. If you're in LA, March 28th, this Thursday, we will be returning to Jam in the Van in Culver City for the next round of the California Cup. Tickets are on sale right now at jamintheVan.com. Previously, we had been doing invite-only events. People had been getting left out. They're saying they want to grab the tickets, make sure that they can get in the door. You can do that now if you go to jamintheVan.com and grab those tickets. Also coming up, April 3rd, we will be at the La Jolla Comedy Store down in San Diego. April 7th, we will be back at the Comedy Mothership in Austin, Texas. Those tickets are sold out, but keep an eye out for future dates there. And last but not least, on April 10th, we will be returning to the Tempe Improv. We had our first Tempe show last month. It was a lot of fun, big success. Looking forward to building the scene out there. So if you're in the greater Phoenix area, make sure you come to that. No more talk. Let's just jump into it. Let's get into this week's episode of RBL Weekly. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to RBL Weekly. It's week three of the 2024 Roast Battle League season. I am the Commissioner Pat Barker, joined as always by the host and creator of the Roast Battle, Brian Moses.
Week three, very exciting.
We're coming off of one of the best weeks we've ever had on this podcast. People were fired up about last week.
Hell yeah. This is going to be a good season.
Yeah. Yeah, I can feel it. I think the quality is a lot higher. Everybody like ranking the battles has been commenting on that. They're way more difficult decisions this year, and you don't have those battles sneaking in at the end where you're like, I don't know about this one. Like, it's a pretty quality product, 1 through 7 right now, which is nice to see. It sucks for some of the other cities who last season would have had ranked battles, and now they're like, oh, the competition has gotten a lot tougher.
Yeah, Manchester.
Yeah, dude.
They are the talk of the league right now.
Yeah.
I'm excited. This feels like we're talking about football, but no, we're talking about the soccer hooligans with some naughty mouths.
But can they repeat last week's performance? We will find out momentarily.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. But before we do, there was a big announcement in the world of Roast Battle this week.
What do we got?
The Netflix is a Joke Festival coming to LA in May. It will feature the biggest RBL tournament to date.
Okay.
Battlers from LA, from the Bay Area, from Denver, from Austin, from Chicago, from New York, all coming to LA for a 16-person tournament over the course of 4 nights in front of hopefully thousands of fans. get your tickets now. First night at the Belly Room of the Comedy Store. Next 3 nights at the outdoor stage at the Palladium, which is a massive space. We're part of the Outside Joke Festival. And today on the podcast, we are going to be unveiling for the first time the battlers that are taking part in the tournament.
That's huge.
It's big. And I just want to, let's jump right into it. Let's throw the graphic up here on the screen. RBL, a decade of destruction. We're celebrating 10 plus years of the Roast Battle, combining sort of the past, the nostalgia, with the future of the RBL. And what we have here is a 16-person tournament. Now, I personally, I'll take all the heat for this, and I know it's coming from a bunch of people whose names are not up here who are not going to be happy with me. The 12 names you see up here were hand-chosen by me. Two Ooh. From each of the aforementioned cities. Very difficult calls. And then the question marks are going to be wild cards that are being chosen as we speak by somebody who is not me.
Okay. this looks like the shit-talking Olympics. This is great.
This is a bracket full of killers. We're going to run through it really, really quick. In the top left corner, Ryan Nesson, the defending world champion, will be one of the LA representatives. He'll be taking on a wild card. Right below that, Adam Gilliland from Denver going against Heather Keith from Austin.
Heavy hitters out the gate.
Battle I absolutely love. Below
That's not
that,
fair.
John Ajota, the reigning New York MVP, going up against one of my favorites of all time, somebody who has beaten me on multiple occasions, Leah Kayajanian, now of Chicago.
Legend.
Bottom left corner, you have Lexi Acinelli, the Bay Area MVP, also facing against a wild card. We go to the right side. From the top on down, Paige Wesley, LA legend, going up against a wild card. Then you have Patrick DePari from Austin going up against JP McDade from New York, a legend in the roast battle game, been around since the days of Roastmasters, has never slowed down, just keeps doing it and keeps killing. And then below that, the second Denver representative, Jake Tapitza, going up against the second Chicago rep, Katie Kincaid. And in the bottom right-hand corner, you have Logan Farr from the Bay Area going up against a wild card. These were the picks that I made It was really difficult. I expect this to be the subject of much scrutiny. To become public enemy number one. And for the record, there are people out there who are going to feel insulted, and I completely get it. I would ask everybody to understand, two people from each city is not a lot of people.
No.
It's very tough, especially in a city like Chicago or Austin or New York, where there's so much depth in the talent pool. Not a dearth, I learned the hard way. But there's so much depth in the talent pool. There are 8 to 10 people in each of those cities that I could have picked, minimum. Mm-hmm. And I had to go with two. But what do you think of the bracket overall?
I love the old blood and the new blood. I like that there's legends in there with Leah Kajanian and JP McDade. I like that there's some new stars in there with Katie Kincaid, Tapitza, Gilliland, and Heather Keith, Actionelli. And then there's still four names to be, you know, unveiled. So we might get some more legends out of this. We might get some more new blood out of it. I'm excited to see who our mystery person is going to pick.
Yeah, me too. I've heard a couple names bandied about. I've heard potentially a Hall of Flamer or two.
Ooh.
Could be on deck for those. I'm excited to see where everything ends up. But I think those are 12 absolutely monstrous names, some of the best roast battlers on the planet. They're going to be coming out here. It's going to be the biggest tournament we've ever had, except for, of course, the World Championship. But in terms of like a 16-person tournament, this is as good as you can get right now.
Not international, though. So they're going to have a lot of shit talking going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I love about international is I guess the biggest tournament before this one was Scotland last year in Edinburgh. They had, you know, battlers from L.A., from New York, from London, from, I believe, Barcelona, of course, Scotland. That was kind of our biggest tournament predating this one. So they kind of have their own international thing going. I would love, frankly, if Netflix returns next year, I would love to keep making this bigger and better.
Yeah, let's go Amazon.
To get some of those. Oh, all right.
Let's go Hulu. Are we going backwards? No, I don't know. Let's go Disney.
Yeah, dude. I would love to book 128 battlers CISO tournament to the death. With everybody from all over the world.
Peacock.
But this is the bracket. I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited all these guys were available to do it. They're all killers. It's going to be a great time. So if you are in the LA area and you want to come to that, make sure you hop on netflixisajoke.com and grab your tickets for that event.
It's on our website. Go to the Instagram page. You can find it. Go to the YouTube. You can find us.
Yeah.
Just find us.
Yeah.
You can
just
get these tickets. Yeah, if you want to come see the greatest tournament we've ever put on, get tickets.
Make a little bit of an effort.
Yeah. Southwest it.
What the fuck, guys?
Ryanair. I don't know what they do overseas. I think that's what it's called.
And a big lineup of celebrity judges still to be announced. We're keeping everybody in the dark on that. But hopefully next week we can hop back into this with the remaining four wild cards and get that bracket completely solidified. Without further ado, let's jump into this week's battles. As always, 7, 6, and 5, we're going to watch without commentary, and then we'll be back to discuss the top four battles of the week. But we're going to start with the number 7 battle, and this comes to us from the Bay Area. For the second time in 3 weeks, Dakota Fry makes an appearance on the list. He was here a couple weeks ago, the subject of a lot of problematic jokes that got that episode completely demonetized. Thank you to Logan Farr for that. Appreciate it. He's back this week with another great battle against Jack Weiler. This comes to us from Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. It's the number 7 battle this week. Here it is.
All right, Jack's from Boston, so he's always goodwill hunting for a woman to roofie. Yeah, he's such a tech bro, he beats women with iPads like, how you like them apples?
Keep it going for the love child of Humpty Dumpty and Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, this guy looks like an extra in a Seth Rogen movie. It's like, you've got Michael Cera's face, Seth's body, and James Franco's sexual assault allegations.
Yeah, all right, it's good. Not totally inaccurate. All right, man, Jack's on Prozac, and he works with software. But during sex, he works with the sock. Where is my little dick? Don't fuck without a condom, they'll give you a computer virus.
Thank you, Jewish Lizzo. Dakota told me he used to break his toes to get Vicodin. Yeah, it was honestly like really shocking to me that he didn't completely lose all of his toes to diabetes.
Jack suffers from a medical condition called resting, do you know who my father is face?
Well, do you? I don't know.
Reject Jack, he goes to his fairy godparents and just wishes for their consent. He's basically like Brock Timmy Turner.
Oh. Dakota, why do you keep looking at your fingers? You don't gotta dig yourself out of the tunnels anymore. Dakota, you look like the manager of the Gaza Strip Club. He told me he can't sleep. Not because he has insomnia, he's just staying up all night because he's too excited that Gaza's getting bombed.
Coming for this fucking G.I. Jonas brother. Yeah, Jack wants to be an actor. I think he could really be the next Mark Wahlberg because he's from Boston, and there's no way he hasn't hate crimed an Asian man.
Keep it going for Honey Boo Boo on testosterone. Dakota used to be a drug addict. He still probably does drugs. I don't know what kind he does. I know it's not meth, though, because meth suppresses your appetite, so.
So that was the number 7 battle this week. Dakota Fry going up against Jack Weiler. Congrats to Jack on the win. Congrats to the Bay Area for picking up another point. They end this week with 1 point, or do they? More to come on that. Let's stay in the States now for the number 6 battle. This was one of our playoff teams last year. They've gotten off to a strong start this season. This is their third consecutive week on the rankings. I'm talking about New York City. This week's battle comes to us from someone we saw last season in Brittany Ledesma versus a newcomer to the podcast, Olivia Carter. It's the number 6 battle this week. Let's check it out.
Brittany is bi, and to prove it, she is a girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, out of state. So I sent her a DM, any tea on Brittany? And she responded, secret crypto offer, would you like to make 5,000 trading crypto? Act now.
Keep it going for Incest Barbie. Yeah. Olivia is from Kansas and is a runner. She calls herself a racist because she loves to run and hates black people. And she looks like the diversity hire for the Gen Z rebranding of the KKK. Yeah, she'll bring sage to a cross burning.
Well, you want it to smell good. Brittany and I don't really know each other. So to get to know each other, we opened up about ourselves and what's going on. And I found out she's bisexual, half Mexican, dyslexic, used to be a stripper. Maybe you know her. She's got a psychology degree, PTSD, depression, and I was like, you could have just said you're hard to be around.
Thank you, Elizabeth Holmes Wrecker. No, I actually found out that Olivia and I are both dyslexic, and she studied theater in college, which I think is brave. She decided to major in reading out loud. Okay. She does actually use her theater degree, though. She acts like she doesn't fuck her brother. You incestuous bitch.
I would never pretend not to do that. Brittany is half white, but with the lip filler, it pushes her to 100%. That's it.
Thank you, JonBenet, getting rammed in her ass. Olivia has a lot of nostril jewelry. Yeah, she's got to show off her only curves. I bet you don't have to track your calories in the notes app, you flat fuck.
I still hate myself.
As you should.
Brittany has a podcast called Just Okay Experience, named after her pussy.
You look like your pussy smells like the inside of a Twilight book.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Olivia looks like she lies about cutting herself to keep her boyfriend from leaving her. even if he leaves you, you'll still see him at Christmas. He's your brother, bitch.
Last joke. Brittany told me she's sober from coke because I think she thought that was impressive. But she does date a lot of white guys, so she still loves white shut up her hole. Thank you. clap for us. We're done, right?
No,
oh, okay.
Remember you started? That's okay.
I'm an idiot.
Olivia has never actually been told I love you. It's just been a lot of guys mouthing olive juice. You unlovable sad sack of shit.
So that was the number six battle of the week. Olivia Carter, Brittany Ledesma coming to us from New York. New York picks up a couple of points as they continue to chase Chicago atop the American East Division. And speaking of Chicago, here they are. The number five battle of the week. This is the second consecutive appearance for Max Sorich. We saw him last week beating Eric Emerson in the number one battle of the week. He's back this week with another great battle, maybe a little bit less competitive. Max was on fire in this one. He is now one win away from winning the Chicago Roast Battle Tournament. He's going to be facing Fujiko in the finals. Let's see how he got there with the number five battle this week. This is Max Sorich versus Michelle Davey. Here it is.
3, 2, 1,
roast!
I'll go first. So, it's good to be here on stage with Jonah Hill, never call you back. Michelle Davey kind of reminds me of a receptionist you hire after the old one got fired for fucking the CEO.
Give it up for brain injury, Ken. Max calls himself a feminist, and by feminist, he's a liar. Max believes in a woman's right to choose so long as she chooses the black strap-on.
I watched a few of Michelle's roasts, and a lot of people make the joke that she's gonna die childless, which is not true. Michelle has two kids, they live in a gingerbread house in the woods.
You sneak into locker rooms to smell the benches.
You look like you smell like the benches. Michelle is in her 30s. She's single and she has two cats. So I know what you're thinking. No way. She has such a fun and chill vibe.
A lot of people have joked that Max looks like a date rapist. And I just don't see it. Not that I don't think he would, I just don't think he has $100. You don't look like a date rapist, you look like a, hey, can you Venmo me for this taco date rapist?
It's true. When I go to the barbershop, I say, just, I don't know, give me a corporate frat guy look. But when Michelle goes to the barbershop, she says, dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun.
That's very funny, Alexander Skarsgård. Max is so fucking dumb. I taught him how to spell his name. He was like, use it in a sentence. I was like, okay, Max. The gay bar is at max capacity.
This is fun. You know, I always wondered what would happen if Princess Leia and Jabba the Hutt worked it out and had a kid.
Max is proof that you can take the kid out of the bus station, but you can't stop him from drinking a stranger's piss.
Michelle Davey, it's good to be here with her. Michelle is actually a name with French origins. It means who resembles God. And Davey is a Gaelic word, and it means, yeah, right.
Max may be a broke comedian slash barista, but not for long. He's waiting on a big settlement. And if you too were a victim of Boy Scouts of America, financial compensation is still available.
You also look like a victim of the Boy Scouts of America.
You look like you just lost custody of your kids, so.
Oh man, that one didn't really land. Kind of like how your fork doesn't really land in salads.
I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Max is gay and retarded. And a little bit jacked. You don't want to catch yourself in a dark alley with Max unless you're in for some rough gay sex.
I can't.
And there we go.
Yeah, we go. Okay, all right. Michelle, she's gotten into several physical altercations with other comedians. I just got to say, Michelle, if you burn all these bridges, where are you going to ask your riddles?
This is true. Max has a stupid fucking tattoo of a wolf on his thigh because inside of Max there are 2 wolves and they're both disappointing his parents.
And that's a battle! Here we go!
So that was the number 5 battle this week. We did not watch it here, but just trust me when I say Max Sorich is on fire. And starting an MVP campaign about as well as you can. I'm just saying, it's way too early to crown anybody 3 weeks into the season.
Wow.
But 2 top 5 battles, a 3-0 record, potentially winning the Chicago tournament this coming week. If he's able to pull off all of that, that's about as strong a start to the season as you could possibly get.
Sorich. All right. I like it.
Yeah.
He's tall. He's handsome. He's got that jawline that only the Fourth Reich could love. Dude.
I'm really bummed about how good his jawline is. I'm like, you can have the jaw or you can have the MVP award. I don't want him having both.
Could be a hell of a year for that guy. Picks up herpes, maybe an MVP vote.
The way he celebrated herpes in the last battle was, that's tough to beat.
Yeah. I mean, now he's got to go against Fujiko. So, you know, it's, yeah.
That's going to be a style clash that I'm really excited to see. Let's jump into the top 4 battles of the week. And we are going to start with, I'll say this, you make your RBL debut, your first ever appearance at number 2. You get the unanimous praise of the people on the panel. You're the toast of the town, and it's still not enough. People in the comments last week there were some people who were not happy. They thought Manchester got fucked over. They should have been number 1.
You guys are right. The people are right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's fair. Easy for you guys to say. You're watching them back to back. I'm watching 12 battles. Sometimes you watch Manchester, and then 2.5 hours later, you watch Chicago, and it's tough to compare the two, okay?
Shout out Chicago. I'm excited about Fujiko and Sorich.
Yeah, me too.
Broken English versus infected penis.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway, Manchester does not stop with the number 2 battle. They come back this week with a really strong undercard. Now, they've been doing the 3-joke undercards like we do here in LA. A lot of international cities just do 5s across the board. They did the 3-joke undercards on the first one. I think they're done with that. They're like, no, we got to jump to 5. So this might be the last, but they do so many jokes. Even they sent it to me. They're like, hopefully it's, well, you know, it's only 3 jokes. And then it ends up being like 9 apiece because of their style. But another Manchester battle, 2 weeks in a row with a top 4 battle. This time they clock in at that number 4 spot. I'm going to say this every Manchester battle, 2 new names. We don't know any of these guys. We're discovering them along with you for the first time. So without further ado, let's jump into it. It's Jack Wilkins versus Mekken Roth. Here it is.
So Jordan's kind of fucked over my first joke. She's actually from Iceland, not London.
Right.
When I heard Mekken was a Pokemon fan, I wasn't surprised. I mean, look at her. It's an autistic Bratz doll. She's the only Icelandic person jealous that the volcano was blowing ash.
It's good.
The main reason she loves Pokemon is because it's the only time she ever hears "I choose you."
Thanks, Jack, you anemic twink.
Let's go.
This is Jack Wilkins, although apparently his nickname in school was Bone. because that's where the cancer is.
Oh, boy.
I'm joking. He's fine. He's fine. But he does kind of look like he recently aged out of anyone caring about his terminal illness. You know, like him and his parents and Make-A-Wish finally have something in common. They refuse to return his calls.
Meckinroth sounds like a European lager, which is ironic considering her dad died of alcohol abuse. I was going to offer Meckin an edible before this, but the last time she was high at a roast was her dad's cremation.
No, yeah, I was really high for my dad's funeral, that is true. Despite looking like a future disgraced morgue attendant, Jack is in a relationship. His partner is non-binary, but the kind of non-binary where he takes it in the ass. Which is pretty binary. I think Jack's dating a non-binary person because getting fucked by a man wasn't gay enough. It's not weird to me at all. It's not weird to me at all that Jack's partner doesn't identify as a man. It's much weirder that Jack does.
Meckin has a very European liberal view on sex, as we call it, a Kerry Katona, slag from Iceland. She's the worst thing to come from Iceland since that Icelandic clap, which is ironically her nickname after she gave an entire orgy chlamydia.
Thanks, Jack, you cum-drenched sock puppet of a man. Jack's asshole is so consistently torn up, bloody, and full of dead kids, we call it the Gaza Strip.
What a nickname.
Yeah, right.
Megan Robb and...
I do love that twist on the joke where it's not like his asshole is like the Gaza Strip. It's like we call it the Gaza Strip. We all got together and we were like, what's a good name? Let's list some random characteristics and we'll figure it out. Yeah. It's bloody. There's dead kids in there. Oh, I know.
They're in a pub in Manchester and they're just talking about Jack's asshole.
That feels like something that could actually happen.
Yeah, I feel like there's always a group of English people talking about Jack's asshole. Some kind of Jack.
Here's the thing that jumps out at me about that battle. Meckinroth, Jack Wilkins, so different from the one we saw last week.
Oh, yeah.
Also very good, but in a completely different way. After the one we had last week, which was like an episode of like the British Office or something like that. It was very, yeah. You know, this one was just like, I don't know where Meckin is from. Oh, Iceland. Right. I guess they're fucking vicious in Iceland.
Yeah, they're Vikings.
Yeah, all right.
They're that Nordic.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it.
Yeah, she's a big Viking woman.
Yeah,
and she just pillaged that man. She was going to butterfly that guy's bones.
She went in hard. Everything that she said was, she started with bone cancer.
Sweet.
Yeah, and then immediately was like, he's getting fucked in the ass.
I mean, that was, that was...
And then ended with the Gaza Strip joke. That's a hell of a set spike, or a bump set spike.
Yeah. That was like a Republican frat kids like playbook.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, you fucking cancer victim. And then, oh yeah, what was it? It was Make-A-Wish won't call you back.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was funny too. Yeah. And,
I didn't think that was a thing.
Jack was good. I liked
Jack was there, yeah.
His Pokemon opener.
That was great.
Blowing Ash. He set the bar really high, and then that ended up being the highlight from him, in my opinion. But she was just, man, I don't even know how to process that the same city that gave us Monty versus Michael last week has now introduced us to the monster that is Meckinroth.
Monster Megan, let's go.
Meckin.
Oh, Meckin, my bad.
Yeah, don't get it wrong, dude. She'll fuck you up. Meckin.
Okay.
Even her name sounds like a... Like a killing monster from some sort of Wasn't that like a... Never mind. I'm going to get into... I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It was going to be some sort of like King Kong thing. I don't know. Or Godzilla.
Jesus.
One of them was like the Mechazord or something, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. From Godzilla.
That's... Yeah, okay. So I'm not crazy. But I'm not well-versed enough to continue the conversation. Manchester, 2 weeks in a row on the rankings. The first two battles they submit, they get it. London is going to be having their debut show in 5 days from when we are recording this.
Jeez.
Let me ask you a question. Does London have a Manchester problem?
I don't know yet because London has a lot of depth.
Yes.
Right? So I don't know. I have to see how they come out of the gate. But right now, I mean, they're already down. I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row now. We're talking about Manchester. I forgot about London.
Yeah.
That's how good Manchester is right now.
And, you know, coming in, you looked at London and you were like, well, they don't debut until the 29th.
Right.
But you look at their division, you say, well, there's Australia, who is the definition of inconsistent. this year, they've been very consistent. Take that how you will. You got Tokyo, who is, you know, solid. But I think people would agree London is a couple notches ahead of them. And then you have Manchester, where it's like, well, you got an expansion city. So you're like, London could probably show up in, you know, week four and just they can be on cruise control for a little bit. They'll be fine. I'm not so convinced of that anymore. I don't know. Manchester is putting on a hell of a show early.
No, it's the those two cities in that country that created this language that we use. They're crushing it, you know, just because I think they created the language, so they have a little bit of an advantage.
Well, thank you for the language. We certainly appreciate it. this was a really good week for some of our international cities, and that's going to bring us to the number three battle. Now, I want to preface this by saying this is the most polarizing battle we have ever had on RBL Weekly. Ever since I brought in a committee of people to rank the battles, they send them in. Sometimes we disagree. We're usually in the same ballpark. I'll have something at one. Somebody else will have it at two. Three versus five, you know, whatever. This next battle on the four ballots I received this week was ranked number one, number two, number seven, and unranked entirely.
Wow.
Not one person knew how to feel about this battle. I had to watch it three or four times before I even got like a grasp on how I felt about it, because there's a lot going on. And there's elements that are distracting, but the joke writing in it, I don't want anybody to take that for granted because it's really good. And it's a lot of fun. But I'm curious to get your take given how everybody else felt. I'm not going to mess up the names on this one. This is from Barcelona. This is Mila Kopaeva, who we saw a couple times last season, Russian battler, very funny, going up against Donatas Kvaselius.
Was he Lithuanian?
He's like 7 foot tall, so yeah, probably. Yeah, this dude's averaging 28 a game in the Euro League and roast battling on the side.
That's my boy.
I love it.
He's our new Blake Griffin.
Let's jump into it. Number three, here it is.
This unfuckable dildo is Donatas Kvaselius.
Yes, he is a dildo.
Donatas Kvaselius is not a disease, it's his name. His disease is chronic sweaty hands, which is very convenient because nobody gets wet when he tries to finger them.
Inside information.
Yeah, those palms are sweaty right now, baby.
I thought this was gonna be bad. This is great. I was so chill. Now I'm shitting my pants. Is it my turn?
It is your turn, yes.
Okay, let's see how this goes. Mila is Russian, right? Everyone knows Cold War has ended, but Mila is still shaving with a hammer and a sickle. The Iron Curtain is a political metaphor separating Soviets from Europe, but the Iron Curtain is also what men call her pussy lips. Because nobody wants to go there. I think she's cute. I would.
The save.
Yeah. I think she's
cute. I would. Kiss.
Chill, Spain.
They haven't gotten the memo on that yet.
It's not part of their culture.
Nah. Hit the sax, see what happens.
What is this Me Too?
It's a match.
This is Donatas Kviselos. His parents found him in a jar of pickled asparagus. Donatas has two sisters. One is his identical twin, and another one is good looking.
Who's his twin, Connor McSpadden?
He told me that none of them wants to hug him. See, Donatas, even your family doesn't want to touch these sweaty hands.
Yeah, we'll be making out after the show. Having said that, I just want to put forth that having sex with Mila is very difficult because nobody can find her a KGB spot. Yes. Because she's Russian. Right? Her favorite sex pose is Russian roulette. It involves having sex with six guys, but only one of them has AIDS.
Wow.
We're gonna see if you are the one after the show.
Damn.
This overstretched condom is Donatas Kviselos. Donatas, thank you for taking time out to roast me. I know you are very busy touring with the Freak Circus. You might recognize Donatas from the biology book as an example of dinosaur skeleton.
Got his ass.
But despite he looks like that, his main bone doesn't work.
Bitch.
It's very hard to see who's speaking, but I hear you loud and clear. A lot of people don't know this. Mila is an abortion survivor.
Sound effect guy is going hard on this one.
The Russian national anthem?
Yeah. I would like to just take a second to address the mothers. Mothers, please, if you do decide to have an abortion, make sure that the baby is dead. Don't let your failed abortion grow up and become a failed comedian. It's not too late. It's never too late. Thank you.
Until you realize that 1 meter of it is just his neck.
He does have a massive neck.
It's a really good joke.
Really is. Really is.
Donatas is like a Kobe Bryant of comedy if he was born too close to Chernobyl factory.
So you can ball?
I do play basketball.
Knew it.
Okay, let's go to the big ones. Okay, ever since the war in Ukraine, the economy is down and the gas prices are up. It's good that Mila lives in Spain, because otherwise she would be sucking dick to stay warm. Not just to make money.
Last joke.
This is Donatas Kviselos. Latin language does not ask for consensus. His favorite sex position is outside the window. He prefers people who live on the second floor, so he can look them in the eye.
I do love eye contact. The only way I get hard. But I can't see you, so I'm soft.
Nice.
Well, I guess we're down to the last one, guys. A lot of people don't know this, but Mila's last relationship did not work out. It's not what you think. Sanctions. A lot of people been telling her boyfriend, man, you have to stop using Russian products. You have to stop using Russian products. And then he looked at her and he was like, that's it. Go. It's not me. It's you. This time it's you. Man, this was not good.
Give it up, guys. Justin.
Oh my God, dude. His internal monologue after every joke was A+. For me, I wasn't the first place ballot and I wasn't the unranked ballot. But I enjoyed this a lot. You take it away. What are your thoughts?
It was better than the fourth battle. That was probably the third. I mean, I haven't seen the first two yet, but that was a lot of fun. I can see why that was all over the board, but there were some bars in there. There were some jokes in there. Mila can really write some jokes.
Yeah.
Even though she sounds like a robot.
Yep.
which I really appreciate. Like a Russian ChatGPT of Shalaka Corrupt.
Someone who watched the battle said she sounds like an actual Russian bot.
She does. Yeah.
And someone else noted the Shalaka Corrupt influence. You can mm-hmm. definitely see that worldwide. I mean, what more flattering thing for Shalaka than like people have adopted your whole style, your signature move. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
not since Mike Lawrence.
Yeah, absolutely. But man, I like I said, I watched this battle maybe four times because I did not know how to rank it. I had no idea. And the more I listened to it, the more I really appreciated the jokes. I think the first time through, you hear the voice and you hear all the silliness. And like, I was immediately just a big fan of all of Donatus's asides. Like after that first joke, you know, when he calls her ugly or whatever, and he just goes, I think she's cute. I would. and then after his last one, he goes, man, that was not good.
Yeah. He's fun, man. You can tell he's probably like a really good comic because he just lets everything roll off of him.
Yeah.
He's got Connor McSpadden, JB McDay, Dale Tosh kind of vibes, right? He's a tall, you know, skinny white dude, but he's got this club comedy appeal to him. I really dug it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of those guys I watch and I'm like, I would love to see your set. Like, I want to see your actual like comedy. Like, yeah. He's just naturally funny. And like, Mila, because I've battled Connor and I've battled JP, who are both, you know, tall, like white guy. And that's a tough angle to kind of come up with. Like, mm-hmm. how do you roast somebody for being tall? And she had a couple of really good ones. The 2 meters tall and 1 meter of it is his neck. The watching couples fuck on the second floor was brilliant.
So he can make eye contact. I mean, beautiful and clean. I mean, he's 2 meters tall, 1 meter is his neck. It's so clean, so good. That was impressive, Mila.
Yeah. I'm really glad that this battle ended up being right because I thought for a minute I was crazy when the ballot started coming in. It was like seventh, not on the. I'm like, what are you people watching?
Right.
But yeah, I'm glad I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. I'm curious to get the community viewpoint on this one because I thought it was outstanding, a lot of fun. But also listen for the jokes in there. Don't get caught up on like the silliness and the voice and all that because these guys wrote some incredible jokes. Great showing from Barcelona. 2 weeks in a row they make the list. Really good early season. We'll talk more about that towards the end of the episode. But now we will move into another battle. That was kind of all over the place, not to the same degree as Barcelona, but this one was ranked as high as second and as low as sixth.
Wow.
This was one we were both in the room for. It is a California Cup battle from LA, and it's going to score points for two different cities in the process. The California Cup we've been running at Jam in the Van exclusively. There was a scheduling conflict. We had to move this battle to the belly room. And despite the fact that this is going to get points for LA, neither battler is actually representing LA. Audrey Hebert, or Hebert, I don't know how to pronounce it, I apologize, has been killing this tournament. She is a San Diego representative. San Diego does not have an official league city, so she's battling in LA on behalf of LA, going up against Lexi Acinelli, the reigning Bay Area MVP, one of the favorites to win the entire California Cup. This is the number two battle, which means 6 points for LA, a bonus three for the Bay, because one of their battlers is in it. And, you know, going into it, I would say Lexi was a pretty heavy favorite in this one. And no spoilers, but let's see how that turned out. It's the number two battle this week. Lexi Acinelli, Audrey Hebert. Here it is.
Give it up for the girl who reminds the teacher there's homework. Audrey has failed her driver's test 4 times. Yeah, if I were her, I wouldn't check my mirrors either. Yeah, your sweater looks like some of the roadkill I hit. Lexi is studying film and photography, and you know, I get why she'd rather be behind the camera. Okay, thumb bulimia. Audrey has OCD and she suffers from obsessive thoughts. Obsessive thought is also what her boyfriend calls her. You look like the star of Sex in the Tent City. Sarah Jessica Drifter. You look like Manish Joplin. Thank you, Billy. I wish you'd kill yourself. Thank you, Tapeworm Swift. Audrey only buys clothes from the thrift store. So her brother has autism and she has hand-me-down syndrome. Yeah, no, this is perfect. I got an extra chromosome and you have a Y chromosome. All right, it's a thinker. Maybe. Audrey looks like she drinks ginger ailments. Audrey is what happens when you raise a pig in a Barnes & Noble. Why do you dress like you still sit in your dad's lap for the Christmas family card?
Actually, that's your dad's lap.
Sure, Audrey's riding my dad, but at least I drove myself here.
Lexi's life motto is when life gives you yeast infections, make kombucha.
Audrey fingers women the same way she picks her nose, with the intention of eating it.
Disgusting.
Lexi looks like she's careful to avoid GMOs, but not STDs.
Audrey likes to paint. Her boyfriend likes to watch her paint. He only asks for better strokes when she's giving him a hand job.
Let me finish. 9/11 and losing her virginity. Two things Lexi was too young to remember.
Audrey's a Democrat. She voted for Biden, but she has the body of Trump.
It's definitely at that point.
What's that?
I feel like Audrey, Lexi took a couple turns from Audrey. But Audrey's so efficient. I think she only did like 4 jokes, honestly, to like Lexi's 7.
No, they were both at 7.
No. So what you're hearing is rebuttals. because she kept saying, thank you, such and such. Thank you. Like, some of those weren't jokes. I even saw Audrey being like, because she's done that before. She's let people take her turn because she's doing rebuttals and people think they're jokes.
You're speaking very confidently for being the guy on the video going,
I'm asking, yeah, because at that point I was asking because, no, Lexi was like steamrolling her. I remember
this. The power
this.
Of hindsight, yeah.
No, no, no. I was talking about this after the show, too. I was like, it felt like, because Audrey's looking over, like, is it my turn? Is it hers? I just felt like Lexi was kind of steamrolling because she did so many jokes to Audrey's, like, was rebuttaling with, like, thank you, such and such. Thank you, such and such. Like, I even said, like, last episode about salutations, and Audrey was doing the salutation thing, so I was like, all right, cool. That's not a joke. And then she would kind of wait for things to die, but then Lexi would take it as, like, oh, it's my turn, so I'm going to go in for jokes.
Well, regardless of what happened, it worked against Lexi.
Totally.
Because the back end of the thing was Lexi running through what is, frankly, I assume her B material, and Audrey just waiting to hit that 9/11 home run.
Right.
And that was the lasting image that went with the judges. Watching it back, I thought Lexi was in control early. Then there was a kind of a massive dry spell. It was interesting because for two battlers as good as they are, there were a lot of like really good jokes. Everything was either a really good joke or, you know, really bad. There was nothing in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even like watching back, it just felt like Lexi kind of steamrolled her. I mean, Audrey maybe had two strong, strong jokes that kind of got her, I guess, the win. But yeah, looking back, I don't know. It kind of felt like, I don't know, maybe that deserved overtime. I don't know.
So you're saying OT?
Yeah, because she flipped her on the, Audrey's big comeback was a rebut of you look like you sit in your dad's lap still for Christmas, which is a great joke. And then she rebutted, that's your dad's lap. And then Lexi kind of fell dry with the rebuttal of, at least I drove myself here kind of a thing, right? And I think, yeah, it was a rebuttal. And then Audrey had the 9/11 joke. And then I think she had one other joke.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it was kind of an equal number of hits. Mm-hmm. I think Audrey covered for her misses a little bit better.
Correct.
Lexi's misses on the watchback felt more pronounced. Like the ginger ailments.
Yeah.
I still don't entirely know what that means.
Right. It's just, she looks like she sells crystals and, you know, those things heal and, you know, Eastern medicine instead of Western medicine.
Got it.
Yeah,
that one missed and it just like the silence permeated the room. Whereas like Audrey missed the one and she kind of sheepishly was like, it's a thinker. And then she's like, maybe. Like, she was like, I'm not even going to claim that maybe it was just bad. I don't know.
It's like Deontis. You like the inner monologue.
I did. I mean, I admire people who can be likable on stage. I haven't figured it out. So when people are able to do it, I'm like, damn, what a beautiful ability to have.
Yeah, just living in the moment.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, what do we do about battlers that, you know, aren't in official cities? And, so, you know, because she might be MVP because she hasn't lost.
Yeah. I mean, well, she's representing LA as long as there's no Roast Battle San Diego. Because I thought about this.
Okay.
I thought about this. And it's like, let's say Chicago, let's say Max Sorich lives in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. Nobody told me that. Let's say he lives in Milwaukee. Should he not count towards Roast Battle Chicago if that's the main Roast Battle that he's doing? That's part of the league.
Right.
So I did think about that because part of me is like really conflicted about like, can we do San Diego versus the Bay and claim any points for LA? I get why it's weird, but LA is the main league city that they'll be repping. And I have to assume that in some of these cities, they have battlers who live an hour away from the venue, an hour and a half away from the venue, who are coming in and doing it. And we don't know. I'm not about to start. I'll say this, it opens a floodgate for me as a commissioner where it's like, now I'm checking IDs and being like, you have to be within the city limits.
But we have a Roast Battle San Diego in the minor league a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
I suppose.
What if she's like, no, I'm from San Diego?
Well, why you put me on the spot with this, man? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no good answer. Here's the good answer. If San Diego gets into the league next season, they are going to have some monsters like already ready to go.
I mean,
this California Cup, if nothing else, has proven that.
Yeah, San Diego belongs.
Yeah.
Shout out San Diego.
Yeah. The California Cup, by the way, continues this week on Thursday night at Jam in the Van. We will be down to the final four. It has been rife with upsets the entire way through. San Diego, the Bay Area, everybody coming down. Everybody's beating the hell out of LA. That's the main takeaway from it.
Ouch.
It's been a lot of fun, and Audrey has been one of my favorite people to watch. She had a killer battle with Evan Warner in the first round, and now she upsets Lexi in the quarterfinals.
She's West Coast Fujiko.
Okay.
She could get Rookie of the Year. We're not really talking Audrey Hebert, are we?
No?
We're not. We're talking Lexi Actionelli. Everybody's talking Big Lexi, but between the two rooks, she's got the dub.
Yeah, she does. So. She does. And, you know, for Lexi, that hell of a consolation prize. Now you get to focus on the Netflix festival.
Yeah, which, by the way, I'm seeing this number one battle. Why do we... What's this international thing going on? And it's kind of we're repping Netflix for the U.S., but we have all these international battles
just
dominating this week.
Just a coincidence.
They got something to say internationally.
The cities, they are they're not ready to take a backseat to America. Last year, L.A. and New York were both ranked higher than London and Scotland. This year, I think we have seen. Are American cities, you know, kind of at around the same level they were at last season, maybe slight improvements in a couple cities, but internationally, you're really seeing the jump.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from an expansion city like Manchester to Barcelona coming out swinging this year. And now we get into Scotland. Scotland is the source of our number one battle this week. They did not have a show until the 19th of March, and they have a show and they managed to land the number one battle as a result of it. This is a really fun battle with some great jokes in it, featuring two Scottish comics, one of which we saw last year named Dean T. Byrne. He's going up against a newcomer to the podcast, Kyle Samuel. It's the number one battle this week from Scotland. Here it is.
Kyle looks like a melted Post Malone. His tattoos say fuck me, but his eyes say you'll regret this. His hairline's vanishing faster than Kate Middleton.
Yeah, that's the second talking vagina of the evening. Dean dresses like he's constantly slept in for a shift at CEX. Dean looks as if Sick Boy from Trainspotting was addicted to Mars bars. Dean looks like he makes a train whistle sound when he ejaculates. Dean is autistic, so whenever he hears a train whistle sound, he ejaculates. And despite being autistic, Dean lost his virginity. Dean.
Despite.
Dean lost his virginity in a bowl of broth. I mean, technically it wasn't broth, it was a hot tub, but a broth is what you get when you put a vegetable in hot water.
Nicely done.
Kyle, if you're here, who's ringing the church bells in Notre Dame? Kyle looks like if Superman started snorting kryptonite. Kyle's the kind of guy who'd ruin a karaoke night by trying to explain the meaning behind Mr. Brightside.
Dean gets help writing roasts from other comedians, so I'm up against the equivalent of four people here tonight, plus whoever has helped Dean. Gonna be honest, if you don't like fat jokes, it's gonna be a long roast battle. Dean once went to school dressed in a Harry Potter robe because, as an orphan, he thought a magic hat was gonna sort him into a house. Dean worked on a film doing the voice of Spider-Man. He was gonna voice Spider-Man in the Orphan remake of a 2021 Spider-Man film. The film is going to be called Spider-Man No Home.
Kyle gets a new tattoo every time he has a failed coming out. Kyle's a computing science teacher. He's much like a computer himself, full of viruses and always crashing. Kyle thinks euthanasia should be legalized, and all I'll say is just as well you aren't a teacher over there, mate.
Dean loves live music, sees a lot of bands. If I was to recommend one band to Dean, it would be Gastric. Dean is gay, so Dean is gay, so no matter if he's gigging or shagging, he's always in bottoms. Growing up, Dean was fat, autistic, and had an absent father, which essentially makes him a gay Harvey Price. Except instead of punching walls, he's sucking balls.
Kyle looks like he spent his teenage years trying to master the dance to Gangnam Style. Kyle's the kind of guy who'd ruin a first date by talking about his katana collection too much. Kyle's liver is so damaged it's been cast in the next season of Euphoria.
Dean, if you're here, who's teaching that class of school children how to rock? Dean struggled to fit in growing up. Struggled fitting in school, in clubs, in jeans. It's funny that Dean looks like an overweight Eminem tribute when his waistband is 8 Mile. Dean always brings something a little extra when he performs. You know, an extra punchline, an extra joke, an extra chromosome.
Kyle's what you get if Dracula was alive during the AIDS pandemic. One of Kyle's other celebrity lookalikes is Tom Hardy, and he is depressed, so we all call him Tom Can't Get Hardy. Well, I think that's my last one, mate.
Dean once said that I look a bit like I'm a gang member, you know? So this is the battle of drive-bys versus drive-throughs. Dean looks like he came out of the womb forklift certified. Dean is scared of bodies of open water and, judging by the smell of them, running water. And finally, and I do apologise in advance, and I would like to make clear, me and Dean love each other very much. But Dean is a big fan of horror movies. We host a horror movie podcast together. Dean's favourite horror movie killer is Michael Myers. But as a gay man, if Dean wanted to kill as many people as Michael Myers, he could simply donate blood.
Jesus Christ.
Didn't warn you guys.
We are good friends.
Yes.
So there it is, the number one battle of the week. This was a very, very difficult week to kind of choose. I agonized over this list several times. But Scotland ends up coming out on top. What'd you think of that battle?
That was the number one battle of the week.
Yeah.
They got it. That was great.
Yeah.
I liked Scottish Zach and Miko and Scottish Scott Chaplin. That was fun for me.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
That was fun.
It does look like a bizarro world version of Amico versus Chaplin.
A lot of great jokes. You called it. This was a tough week to judge who was number one, but I think you guys nailed it. I think you got it right. 1 through 7, pretty good. And this was the number one battle of the week. Impressive debut by Kyle.
Yeah.
I think we've seen Dean before, haven't we?
I've definitely seen Dean. I'm not sure if any of his battles ever ended up on the podcast, but I've seen him battle before, and I've been a fan.
Yeah, Dean's great.
Yeah.
So that was a hell of a battle for a debut from Kyle on this podcast. So
yeah. I felt like it was pretty even about halfway through, and then Kyle just pulled ahead on those last couple turns. He was hitting 2, 3, 4 jokes per turn.
Right.
And any joke where you have to apologize to the crowd ahead of time and be like, I want to be very clear, we're good friends.
This guy's got AIDS.
Yeah. But Scotland comes back after a couple weeks off, like they never left, pulling out the number one spot. This was a show that featured a lot of Scotland versus Manchester battles.
I heard.
This one was just Scotland versus Scotland, but I'm hoping we get to see some of the other ones, in the coming weeks, because... Again, you talk about London having their work cut out for them. Manchester could be having two sources of points, in the next couple of weeks.
Have we ever had a city have two battles in the top 5 or 7?
No, because we have a rule where you can only submit one per week.
Okay.
But with this new rule where you could pick up points on the side, for instance, the Bay Area this week picked up points on their own battle, and because Lexi was, involved in the LA battle... A couple weeks ago, LA got one because John Luna battled in New York. So you will see a little bit of that. And let's jump in right now to the standings. And we'll start with the International West Division. And Barcelona maintains their lead in the International West Division. They're up to 8 points. For context, Barcelona last season scored 17 points for the season.
Yeah.
They are basically halfway there in week 3. It's a 34-week season. 3 weeks in, they are halfway to their total from last season. It's been a very impressive run from them to start. And then Scotland making their debut, picking up 7 points. They are already in second place there. Canada has a little bit of catching up to do.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by my people out in Montreal.
Mm.
Barcelona, I am sorry. I was not familiar with your game.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys really are impressive and... You're killing it. Scotland, obviously, you're supposed to be up there. I think you're picked by everybody to win that division. But Montreal, man, please catch up because you're my dark horse. And Barcelona, keep killing it, man.
It's been a rough start for all of the expansion cities outside of Manchester.
Manchester's crushing.
When you go to the east now, Manchester, my God. The rest of the division, of course, Australia, has... yet to submit a battle. London has yet to run a battle. Tokyo picked up a point last week, and they had a fun one this week that just missed the cut. But Manchester, 10 points. The rest of the expansion cities combined, 1 point through the first 3 weeks. Manchester absolutely looks like they belong in this thing, and they could actually win it.
Tokyo was talking so much trash. We're going to catch London. Tokyo, you gotta beat Australia first.
Tokyo, I've seen a couple of things from their most recent event. I think they're gonna put some points on the board the next couple weeks. But Manchester, that's the story of the early season. When you get into narratives of the first month, to me, that is it right there.
I like the storyline of Barcelona. That we were talking some trash, they were talking trash back, and they're backing up their trash talking.
Yeah,
Manchester. I mean, just with the okie doke, I did not see this in the preseason. All of a sudden, now you're a favorite now in the International East. But yeah, those two storylines, and obviously Scotland being there still. That triangle, I like that Barcelona, Scotland, Manchester. I really like it.
Yeah, those have been some of the highlights of the early season. As we go to the American side of things right now, big week for Los Angeles, picking up 6 points for the second battle. They go all the way up to 15.5. The Bay Area, by virtue of having the number 7 battler with Jack Weiler, Dakota Fry, and picking up those 3 Lexi Acinelli points, they leapfrog Austin. Whoa. To move into second place. Austin came out swinging with that number 1 battle in the first week, and since then they have been passed by LA and the Bay. They're going to want to be out for revenge coming up. Denver still yet to get on the board. And then when we go to the American East Division, Chicago just keeps rolling along. They pick up 3 more points this week for Max Sorich and Michelle Davey. New York picks up a couple points. That is definitely looking like a 2-horse race. Cleveland and Atlanta, bringing up the rear. 1 point for Cleveland. Atlanta yet to score anything. Anything jump out at you on the American side early in the season?
Yeah, the West.
Yeah.
The West is like the NBA Western Conference.
Yes.
That's a tough division because Denver still, they've got some guys. I mean, you got Gilliland and Tapitza coming here for the Netflix Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Those are points to be had.
Yep.
But it's going to be here in LA. Do we pick up some points?
No, if it's, we don't get any points.
Okay.
If there's an LA battler in it, yes. If it's Denver versus Austin, they'll split the points.
Okay.
We're not taking any just for hosting the battles.
I got that.
So this is a big opportunity for some of these cities to pick up points. Because yeah, Denver is off to a tough start, and that is not the division you want to be off to a tough start.
You're down by 15 and a half points, Denver. You got to do something.
Not even 15 and a half, but it's like when you're like four games back with like 12 to go. That doesn't sound daunting, but then you're like, oh, we have six teams ahead of us to leapfrog, you know?
Yeah, that's...
Like, it's not a matter of catching LA. You got to catch LA and Austin and the Bay, and it's just that is a tough, tough division, but there's a long, long way to go. But man, that is not where you want to start. And then the East, Chicago and New York, I think is going to be a slugfest all season.
All season long. Yeah, I thought New York was going to come through real early, but man, that Chicago tournament is fun.
Yeah.
It's racking up points. Atlanta, I need you to come through. You know, you're the South. My boy Jerron's hosting down there. Cleveland, they're putting a lot of battles forth. Nothing that's caught us, I guess, except once.
Cleveland, okay, so a little inside info here. The first week, Cleveland had they picked up a point.
Mm-hmm.
The second week, they had a good battle, didn't quite crack it. And then this week, it was more of a technical error than anything. They sent in a battle and forgot to share it, like make it public. So nobody was able to watch it except for me. None of the other people who could rank it were able to watch it. We didn't get the thing taken care of until this morning, and then by that point, it was too late. So I watched the Cleveland battle that they submitted. I thought it was good. I think there's a possibility they resubmit that one. I know they have several others from their most recent event that they're high on. They are confident that in the coming weeks, they have battles to submit that are going to get them on the board. I like hearing the confidence. We just got to see it.
I got to see it. I'm excited about Cleveland. I think Cleveland can make a push in that America East. That America West is tough. Catch up, Denver. I want to see you up there. And Austin, send some videos in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Austin, they just had their first non-mother, because we've been using the mothership events. Comes through,
right,
and it knocks the creek off. So they just had their first Creek in the Cave show the other night. I would assume that they'll send something in. We'll be able to see them again next week. And I think they're going to be in it the entire season. But good week for the Bay Area, good week for LA, good week for battles. Appreciate you guys joining us. Next week, we will hopefully have the remainder of that information about the Netflix Festival with those four mystery wildcard battlers. We'll also watch seven more great battles as we do every week. Anything else to add?
Let's roast!